So one of those cliches I always hear about living in Southern California, and you've probably heard this before, is there's no seasons, right? And you know, you look outside on this late fall day, and you maybe can understand where that comes from. But I hear that a lot, especially from people who maybe have moved here from the Midwest or the East Coast, and it's true, the turn of seasons here is not nearly as dramatic as it is in other places. But when you've been here for a while, you start to notice kind of the subtle differences that that mark the change of the seasons. And of course, I think the fact that even though it's sunny outside, that we need to keep cranking the heat in this building. If you're here early in the morning, you know what I'm talking about. It signals better than anything else, we are on our way towards winter. It's really happening. But I thought about this week, and I thought, isn't it interesting how relative this idea of seasons really is? Because it's autumn here, right? But on the other side of the world, on the south of the equator, it's spring. And really, if you were to go and take a walk out in the hills around here, Carlsbad, Encinitas, anywhere around here, you might get the idea that it's really more like spring here than the later days of fall, temperature aside. There are flowers sprouting all over. The air is fragrant with that smell of sage, and the sage plants are growing these fresh green leaves. You see, here in our native environment, the chaparral, the fall really is the spring, in a sense. And that's because the plants, the native plants of the chaparral, they lie dormant most of the summer, and they start to spring forth as soon as the first rains of fall show up. That's their cue to start blooming. They don't wait for April showers to bring May flowers. By May, around here, our native landscape is already almost ready to go back into hibernation. And so when people visit here from out of town during the summer, they look around and they go, oh, everything's dead, everything's brown. What they don't realize is our summer is really, for the plants, more like the winter. That's when they drop their leaves to conserve their water supply during the hot times. But they're still very much alive. That spark of life in those plants is still there. It's deep in the roots, and it's just waiting for fall to come and that call of the rain, the first rains, to make it wake up again. I love that image of the root. And that image shows up in several places in our scripture readings today. Of course, Isaiah speaks of the root of Jesse and the branch that comes forth from the stump to bring life to what seems to be dead. And then Paul picks up that same image, but he uses it in a different way. He uses it to describe the salvation of all people, even the Gentiles, the outsiders. And then John the Baptist, he talks about roots, but in a very different way. He's envisioning someone like a gardener or a lumberjack who's cutting out the roots of what's become dead to make way for new growth. Now, of course, roots can refer to parts of plants, but they can also refer to the roots that we have, our lineage as people, who we are, where we come from. Those roots that shape who we are, who we become. The root of Jesse for the people of Israel meant that God's promise of redeeming the world through them would come through them in the form of the Messiah, who was a descendant of Jesse and David, and that promise was not going to be broken, and it defined who they were as a people, even when times looked very bleak. But we know from our own lives that roots in and of themselves don't always bring good outcomes. In our roots, we can carry trauma, generational trauma from our ancestors. That can be a hindrance to our growth, to our flourishing. And in those cases, we might need some kind of intervention, some kind of gardening in the form of healing in order to grow into who we're really called to be. Just having the presence of a root in the ground doesn't mean there's going to be fruit, or at least maybe not the right kind of fruit. And so that's where those scary sounding words from John the Baptist come from. This is one of those gospels that you don't want to be reading when you've got visitors coming to church that week, because it sounds pretty scary. But he's directed towards the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Sure, they had roots. Their roots went back to Abraham. But what good were those roots doing? Weeds have roots too. And the gardeners among us know that weeds usually have the deepest roots. They usually have the strongest roots. I recall in the house that we recently owned in Murrieta, there was a side yard that used to get all of, it was a little bit lower than the rest of the yard, and so all of the rain would pool there. And the weeds that would grow there were, the battle to take care of those weeds was something I've never experienced before. You'd have plants that looked nice and green and soft on the top, but you'd have to take a pickaxe to get the roots out. I mean, serious effort. And those roots, those are the strongest roots, but they aren't doing anything for the garden. They're just choking out the other life that's trying to break through. And so John the Baptist, he speaks about this in no uncertain terms. Dig them out. Chop them up, burn them in unquenchable fire. Those are some strong words. But maybe if we find ourselves rooted to something that isn't bringing us life, then it's time for us to do the same. Now, this, of course, can be a painful process. There are things that we hold on to because they bring us comfort. They can help us to avoid the scariness of having to change. And sometimes these things are good, but more often they're exactly what is preventing us from growing. Is that the case with the church? Are we afraid to do some of the weeding, some of the pulling up the roots that are no longer bearing fruit in order to grow? Now, if we look at the statistics about where the church, not just here in at Holy Cross, but the church in our society is headed, it seems we could read it pretty clearly. If we want to be able to reach the people who are not currently a part of our churches, we're going to have to approach things very differently than we have in the past. Just hanging out the sign, just hanging out the shingle is not going to bring people beating down our doors. Like those plants on the hillside, the chaparral plants, we need the right kind of roots, the right kind of soil, and we need to be ready to sprout when the rain comes. And that can mean branching out in ways that we haven't done before. Now, John the Baptist, he's not calling out those Pharisees and Sadducees because there's something wrong with the traditions that they come from, because the roots themselves are bad. It's how they're using them. It's the fruit that's coming out of them. Instead of those roots supporting new life, this new thing that God is doing in the world, they're trying to stay rooted in comfort, in privilege, in purity. If we could advance to the next slide, I'd like to show you a beautiful image I found this week. This is a painting by a Roman Catholic nun. Her name is Sister, and I'm gonna butcher this, Ansgar Holmberg. It's a picture of the root of Jesse. It begins down on the bottom. There we have Adam and Eve as the root, and they're asleep there in their little sleeping bags, and they're waiting for the rains to bring forth the fruit, the flower. And then the root spreads out through time and reaches the top there in Mary, who's holding up Jesus, the blossoming of God's grace and redemption, the flower. Oh, he sees toys. Okay. That's pretty good stuff, huh?
It's a choo-choo?
It is a choo-choo.
It's a much choo-choo train.
It's a much choo-choo train. And it matches your shirt. Take a look at something else on there, too. You can see that not only is there the tree, but there's also the stump. There's also the stump down there at the bottom that's been cut off. And maybe that's there to remind us of what needs to be trimmed away so that we can flourish and we can flower. You gonna take those with you? Take them back.
Sure. He just wants to make sure they're safe.
Oh yeah, he's gonna keep them safe. He'll help us bless them later too. So the blossoming of grace comes in the form of Jesus. And that's who we're watching for. That's who we're waiting for this Advent season. So Paul tells us in Romans, it's Jesus who confirms those promises at the root of the salvation story. And how does he do that? By becoming a servant. That's the root that holds this whole story together. That's the sign for all people that brings peace and victory over the powers of tyranny, like we sang in the song this morning. By becoming servants, we allow that same grace to bloom for others. That's what's in our DNA, like those plants who know how to flower just when the time is right. Our fruit is the fruit of the Spirit that shows forth, that blossoms forth in the way that we love and serve each other, here in the church and also out in the world. And so as we think about that root and that flowering, let us remain connected to those roots, but let those roots bring forward new life, that sign of life that the world needs. Those flowers that are blooming on the hillsides, even in the depths of winter. I pray this with you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.